Everybody, welcome to another episode of This Week on Channel 9. I'm your host, Scott Klein. You might remember me from the daytime award-winning show, As Microsoft Turns, or the award-winning comedy shows, The Big Data Theory, or How I Met Your Code. With me today is Robert Green.
Hey,
Robert,
Scott.
Welcome to the show.
I've only got one award from my show, Visual Studio Toolbox.
That's all you...
That's it.
Good.
I only need one. It's so good, it only needs
you
one
only need
award.
One. That's right.
That's right.
Right. I'll get there one day. All right, let's get going. So we've got
a lot
to talk about today. Robert, you're up. Let's talk about Dev Center.
Some great new capabilities in the Dev Center. The ability to have your apps roll out to new users in batches. So we call this gradual package rollout.
Yep.
So rather than have everybody get a new version of the app at the same time, you can roll it out in waves, if you will.
Yep. Okay.
Also, the ability to specify mandatory updates. So make sure everybody has to be running on the latest version of the app. There's some improved reporting, and the coolest thing of all, the ability to submit apps and games to Xbox One.
That is awesome. That's awesome.
Now, you may ask yourself, Xbox One? I didn't know you could develop for Xbox One. In fact, you can. You can build Universal Windows apps that run on Xbox One.
Yep.
And a couple days ago here in the Channel 9 studios, there was a full day of training on that.
Yep.
Run by our good friend Nicola. Mm-hmm. So if you are interested in building apps on Xbox, I highly recommend that training. And of course, remember that the whole concept behind the Universal Windows platform is that a single app runs on any device running Windows 10. So whether it's a Surface or a phone or a HoloLens or a Surface Hub or a Raspberry Pi or an Xbox One, write the app once. Of course, tweak the UI and whatnot so it runs great on all those devices, but a single executable can run across everywhere. So Full day of training to see how to do that.
So I was actually here in the studio recording our internet radio show for that, and I actually after that was able watched some of that that they were recording for the Xbox, and it was really good.
I don't
mean to sound biased, but I thought that was what they were talking about was really awesome.
Just honest. Right.
Right. No sales here. All right. Let's talk about Monogame.
Yes.
Monogame. I think in the last show we did, I called it something not that, right? So we're going to call it Monogame.
Monogame.
So let's back up, right? So we actually talked about this in the last show you and I did, but let's, what is Monogame? So Monogame was created in 2009 as a way to facilitate porting XNA games to different platforms like Xbox, Windows PC, PlayStation 4, things like that, right? Just recently, they announced that at the GDC this year, that Monogame will now support creating games for the Xbox One platform, right?
Mm-hmm.
So kind of, tailing in onto what you were just talking about, right? Now, now Monogame will support developers, bringing more indie developers to Xbox One, right?
Yep.
Not just Xbox. So I think that's good news because Xbox One is gaining a lot of attention, a lot of ground, right?
Sweet.
Yeah, very nice. All right.
So I don't know if you've noticed, but there's a new version of Visual Studio coming out in the reasonably near future.
Yep.
Called Visual Studio 15. 15, codename 15. And is all kinds of new things in the IDE and the tooling, and, as you might expect, new features in the languages. And in the latest preview of that, Preview 4, which is available for your downloading pleasure, there are some additional features in C Sharp, including things like deconstruction, tuples, pattern matching, local functions, etc. Some really interesting ways that the language is being brought forward, and Mads Torgersen has a great post about that along with some samples. So you can check out some of the additional new features coming in C Sharp 7.
Now, have you done? I mean, you can download the preview now.
Yes.
For Visual Studio 2015.
Visual Studio 15. Yes.
Have you done any toolbox shows on maybe C Sharp 7 or things like that?
I have not done a toolbox show on C Sharp 7 yet.
Okay.
I know that Mads has. I think Seth interviewed him. I think he's been in a couple other places.
Okay.
So I like to wait for the dust to settle and then have
him on toolbox. Once it gets near,
But we will absolutely do several shows on Visual Studio in the near future.
There's
on the new version.
I was talking to Scott Hunter about this, and man, there's some cool stuff coming.
There's a lot of good stuff. Yes.
In 15. Right?
Yep.
Okay. Cool. I'm excited about that.
Okay. You can, I don't know if you know that, but you can build extensions for Visual Studio Team Services.
Yep.
Okay, and...
I haven't done it, but I know you can do it.
And up until very recently, you could build extensions and you were able to share them with the community for the low, low price of nothing. Because you weren't up until now given the ability to sell your services. Now we have that ability. So you can create both paid and free Visual Studio Teams services extensions on your own.
Okay.
So that's nice.
Very awesome.
For people that want to monetize their extensions.
Yes.
Also in the news is that the Microsoft Test, MS Test framework is the unit testing framework that we have, now supports .NET Core 1.0.
Mm-hmm.
There have been previews of that in the past, but now this version supports .NET Core 1.0 RTM. So if you're writing on .NET Core and you want to use that for your unit test framework, there's a new version, updated, new features.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's
cool. All right, my turn. So a lot of momentum has been gaining steam around this challenge that started not too long ago, just a couple years ago, I think. And it's called the 10K challenge, or the 10K apart challenge. And what it is, is it possible to build a compelling website or web experience that can be delivered in 10K, 10 kilobytes or less, and works without JavaScript, right? So this is a challenge, and if you think you have what it takes to do this, so again, it has to be compelling, and it you know, not use JavaScript, but if you think you can build a website in 10K or less, then sign up. There's https://a-k-apart.com. And sign up for the challenge. You have until September 30th to sign up and build it. And I think and to build the challenge, I think it explains it on that site, right? But this is an interesting challenge. I think it was 5K. They started with 5K. Now it's 10K.
Hmm.
Can you build a what they call a compelling web experience in 10K or less?
So just HTML.
It's HTML,
and CSS.
Right? Yeah.
Cool.
With so much of an emphasis on front-end frameworks in Java, you know, it's time to get back to basics. They want to basically go, can you use the core set of, you know, core technologies, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like you said, right, just HTML in 10K or less. Right?
But without making it look like a website that's 15 years old.
Yes. Right.
Nice.
Right, so again, you have until September 30th, and again, HTTPS, https://a-k-apart.com. Okay, all right, and following on to that, so there's some blog posts, there's been some blog posts and commentary around this, building in 10K. So if you want to, we'll put this up on the website, but just some, there's been a lot of content and information, strategy, things like that on how to do this. So if you're very interested, and participated in this, we'll put this up there. It's kind of a long URL, so I won't read that out. But simply, if you some content and strategy on how to participate and things you might want to consider when participating in this challenge.
Cool.
Right. So
are
very
you gonna participate?
I am not a web developer. You know, H1, H2 is kind of my.
That doesn't sound that compelling.
It's not. Yeah, not that compelling. I am not a web developer. Right?
Well, maybe you should create a compelling web page that talks about all of the awards you've won.
Yeah.
In 10K
on my
or less.
Award-winning
That's
comedy
right.
shows. That's right. I should do that. That's right. I talked to my other comedians on the Big Data Theory. That's right.
There you go.
That's right. I need to get down to one show like Robert Greene.
I just put it all into one.
One effort.
As you can tell by watching this episode.
That's right. All right. Next. All right. Containers. That's still mine. All right. So. Windows Server 2016.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of effort going into that. It will be released soon, and so will the Docker engine that's compatible Windows container features. So if you want to know how to work with Windows containers in Windows Server 2016, you know, kind of a getting started with Windows containers. there's a URL, we'll put this out there. Containers has been gaining a lot of, you know, because it's supported in Azure, and there's some great functionality around there. There's a tutorial for you on how to get started with Windows containers. Just go out to this URL. A lot of great information out there. I went visited this website. It's getting started, and basically step by step on how to get started with. I am not a Windows Server guy. We should get actually one of us.
Well,
should
then
get
you might be happy to know
that there's this tutorial.
That it
out
also
there.
Works in Windows 10 Anniversary Update.
Does it really?
Yes, it does.
I did not.
Which
know
I
that.
First discovered. A few days ago, because my Surface had to be repaved, and what I typically do when I start the machine up is I go into the Windows features and I turn on a bunch of things like ASP.NET and etc. And there it was, Windows containers.
Really?
So you can actually play around with this stuff using Windows 10 Anniversary Update. You don't need Server.
Interesting. Yeah. One of us should, on our shows should have Joey Snow on to talk about Windows containers. He's a Server guy.
Yep.
Right. So, again, if you want to get started with Windows containers, there's getting started with Windows containers out on the URL that we'll publish there. But very good information. Getting a lot of traction.
Yeah.
Very awesome.
Cool stuff.
Yep. Oh, yes. Mine still. Yes. Forgot the order. All right. So, Microsoft. So, again, this is kind of a, hey, if you're interested, so... If you want to get started with data science or you just want to jumpstart your analytics project, you're familiar with Windows Azure Virtual Machine, or sorry, Microsoft Azure Virtual Machines,
yes.
Right? So there's now the ability to say, hey, you can spin up an Azure Virtual Machine that contains all the tools and everything you need to know, you need to work with to start doing data science. So things like Python distribution, notebooks, there's a whole list, you know, the Learning Cortana sample gallery, Microsoft R Developer Edition, just a whole list of things that are already installed. You don't need to go install them, but it's like, let me spin up a virtual machine and just get started, right? Mm-hmm. And you can spin these up right now. So this is awesome because there's like, Microsoft is coming out with a ton of data science stuff, and there's a lot of data science technologies and services out there that just, you know, aren't part of Microsoft. But this is a great way to say, I want to either jumpstart my analytics project or I want to learn about data science. What do I need to know? Do I not just spin up now an Azure Virtual Machine? And there it is, been listed and spin it up. That's phenomenal, right?
Excellent.
Because, you know, there's a whole plethora of just technologies for data science. And you may not need all of these, but from a Microsoft perspective, what do I need to know? Boom, there you go, get started. Very easy.
Very
just
cool.
Spin up an Azure VM.
Very cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
All right. So working here, we think about hardware all the time, but we typically mostly think about, you know, Surfaces, the Surface Pro, the Surface Book. We spend a lot of time with our own hardware, of course. But we should never lose sight of the fact that there are other folks building Windows 10 machines. And building some awesome Windows 10 machines.
Yes.
And speaking of awesome Windows 10 machines, you got to check out this bad boy that Acer just announced.
Yeah, you and I were looking at this earlier, and we were drooling over this.
Oh, my God, the Predator 21X. So first of all, it's called the Predator, which is awesome. It has a 21-inch curved screen.
Yep.
It has up to 4 terabytes of SSD storage.
Jeez.
2 GeForce GTX 1080 GPUs.
For video, oh my goodness, 64 gig of RAM.
It's 64 gig of RAM. It's got killer stereo speakers. This thing is just amazing.
So the question is, I was going to look this up. I want to know, what is that big game machine, a big gamer laptop that I'm trying to remember? Because it looks sort of like that a little bit. I'm trying to remember the name. This, I'd like to know how much this thing weighs and how much it costs. Because, you know, up to 4 terabytes of SSD, 64
It's got built-in eye tracking. It's really cool.
Oh, geez, yeah.
I know.
This is hardcore. I wonder if this is going to show up on the Microsoft list of
approved hardware.
That's right. I would like that.
And, you know, with 64 gig of RAM, that will make it easier to work with Excel.
That's right, for all you data scientists out there.
Exactly.
That's right. I could spin up a bunch of SQL Server instances on that, baby.
You bet.
That's right.
Hey, so Scott, I know you're a big fan of the OneNote Web Clipper.
Huge fan.
Which is an Edge extension. And I pretty sure it was also an IE extension. It's an extension that you can put into your browser, and what you can do is do a screen cap or a clip of a web page or pieces of a web page, and then send it to OneNote.
Yep.
So that's pretty cool. This thing's been out for a while, a lot of new enhancements in it, and it has also just gone open source. So if you want to see how that kind of stuff is done, or if you want to contribute to this, it's open source. Have at it. At the very least, you should now say, oh, that's interesting. What is the OneNote Web Clipper? So you actually can get it.
I was asking that.
You can get it in the store, the Windows Store. Pretty seamless. You can start from Edge. You go to Extensions. It opens up the store.
Yeah.
You install the extension, and then back in Edge says, hey, you've got a new extension. Do you want to turn it on? You turn it on, and it's actually pretty cool.
Okay.
Yeah, so take a look at it. Even if you don't care that it's open source. I recommend it as an extension. You should go take a look at it.
Yeah, I need to be a better user of OneNote first before. All right. And lastly,
I suppose if you don't use OneNote, the OneNote web clipper is not that useful.
Not
to
that
you,
useful.
But maybe it'll get you using both.
That's a good point.
There
That's
you go.
Right. Yeah. All right. Lastly, let's talk about HoloLens. So there's two new apps for HoloLens. It's called HoloPond and Holographic Darts. So I was reading about these. HoloPond is just to say you put it on and there's a pond, right? Mm. I don't know if you can go swimming in it or things like that, but there's a pond, right? But the better one is
In the winter, does it freeze so you can go ice skating on it?
that would be awesome. Play a little hockey on my HoloPond.
Because if we had that right now, I think it would be cold, given how cold it is in this room right now.
Yep. The HoloPond app does about what you imagine it would. It creates a holographic pond. Nice. Okay.
Right.
But which I like, and I haven't tried a HoloLens yet. I would very much like to. I tried another brand, and man, it was realistic. Holy cow. But the other one is the holographic darts, and that's just let me play darts, right?
Yeah.
Puts up a dartboard, and we each had one, we'd be playing a game of darts.
That's cool.
That'd be awesome. That's kind of fun. So I got to get my hands on a HoloLens.
They're available. You can order one.
Okay.
They're available
okay.
to the public.
Sweet. Done.
Yeah.
All right. Where's Robert and Scott? They're playing holo darts in their office. All right. I think that's it. Let's talk about our pick of the week.
So my pick of the week is the UWP Community Toolkit, which was released recently, and it is a collection of controls and helpers that are provided for you as part of the toolkit. So, for example, this contains a hamburger control.
Yep.
Now, you may ask, well, why do I need a toolkit to get a hamburger control? Why don't I just create my own? And the reason is because you have to create your own.
Hamburger control?
The hamburger control, which is the menu thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay,
right?
Yep.
Okay, in Windows 10 apps. So you can create your own. It's not that terribly difficult, but there's a lot of manual coding, a lot of plumbing that you have to do. The UWP Community Toolkit contains that. It contains the ability to very, very easily create toasts and notifications. There's a bunch of animations in there. So in those cases, a huge amount of plumbing code that you don't have to learn.
Right.
You just get to use these things. And then also the ability to hook up with Twitter, hook up with Facebook, so you can post and read from both Twitter and Facebook in a handful of lines of code instead of having to learn the entire API.
Yeah.
So this thing is cool.
That's been out since when?
It's been out for a couple weeks now. I just did a Toolbox episode on it.
Okay.
So I don't know if it's cool for your pick of the week to be the thing that you did a show on 2 days ago.
But it's cool.
That's what I did.
So that's
how cool I think this is.
All right, my pick of the week was an announcement that we made yesterday. Now, me being a data guy, I'm all about data. So yesterday, Microsoft announced that Azure SQL Data Warehouse general availability is now available and expanding to all 18 regions worldwide.
Hooray.
Yeah, that's awesome. Azure SQL Data Warehouse, this has been, I remember doing a data expose show on this, and man, that was like, finally, right? Because how do we do data warehousing in the cloud, right?
Yeah.
This is now available and expanding to all 18 regions. Great news. Generally
cool.
available. Yep.
All right.
All right.
That's it.
That's this week's episode of This Week on Channel 9. Be sure to catch Robert on The Toolbox.
Yes.
Be sure to catch me on the Data Exposed show here at Channel 9. And we will see you next time.
All right. Good job.
Good job.
See ya.
See ya. Thank you.